Matthew chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word tonight to all of our hearts. I want to direct your attention tonight to the last three words of verse number 25. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Here is a prayer that all of us, I'm sure, can identify with. It's a prayer that we can all use, and a prayer that we ought to use, and a prayer that undoubtedly in the future we will need to use. It's a short prayer. It's a very simple prayer. We might say it's a staccato prayer. It just seems to come out very quickly and rapidly. And it's also a very sincere prayer. It's a prayer that we will use often and also in a multiplicity of situations. Lord, help me. But it becomes all the more meaningful whenever we consider the lady who prayed these words and the circumstances that she found herself in. And there are many things that we could say tonight about this lady, and I just want to say some very simple things very quickly about the lady who prayed this prayer. You'll notice in verse 21 and 22 something of her background. Jesus, along with his disciples, have departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, there, as they arrived, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. She was a Canaanite. That is to say, she was a non-Jew. She was a Gentile. And coming from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, as far as the Jewish people would be concerned, not only was she a Gentile, but she was one of the worst types of Gentile. Tyre and Sidon were noted amongst the Jewish people as being pagan and ungodly and completely heathen. You remember the Lord even challenged the Israelite people, saying that because they had rejected him, it would be more tolerable even for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for those cities within the commonwealth of Israel. Such was their contempt for the people of Tyre and Sidon. They were pagan and they were godless. And that's the background that this woman came from. And you'll notice as well, not just her background, but also her need. Verse 22, she came out of the same coast and cried unto the Lord, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. A tremendous need within her home and within her family. Her daughter, we're not sure if it was her only daughter, we're not sure if she had a husband, we're not sure if it was just the two of them that lived under the same roof, but evidently the daughter had a tremendous need. She was vexed with a devil. In fact, grievously vexed with the devil. And there's no greater need than the need of the human soul. And this young girl's life had been taken captive by the devil himself. And this lady knew enough truth to realize that if there was not divine intervention, the daughter's life would be destroyed and her soul would be lost forever. She had a tremendous need. And I'm sure tonight, as you come to this prayer meeting, if you just take a few moments, if you're not already conscious of your needs, if you just take a few moments and think about our circumstances, our family, our friends, our loved ones, maybe our children or our grandchildren, there are great needs within our homes and family circles as well. But God is able to meet the need, whatever that need is. Paul said to the believers at Philippi, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Notice also her boldness, verse 22. It says, she came out of the same coast, she came to where the Lord was, and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She was bold in her approach to the Lord. The Lord was there with his 12 disciples. She didn't care who heard her. She didn't care that the Lord was in the company of other men. Such was her great need and such was her love for her daughter that she came to the Lord with boldness and she came to him. And tonight we also are invited to do the same. Let us come boldly. The scripture says, "Unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." She was bold, and so often we can be very timid in the place of prayer. And yes, we need to come before the Lord with reverence, with humility, with godly fear, but at the same time with boldness and with conviction and with assurance. Out of love for her daughter, she boldly comes to the Lord. Notice as well her faith. She did not know as much about the Messiahship of our Lord Jesus as the 12 men that were with him did, or as the people within Israel did. In fact, we would be persuaded that this lady's knowledge was very, very limited, growing up there in Tyre and Sidon, a community that didn't have the same privileges as the Jewish people, but yet, with what she knows of Christ, what she knows of the Lord Jesus, she comes with whatever faith she has, and she seeks him, as it were, in the place of prayer. She believes in his power. Her knowledge was limited, but with the little knowledge that she had, she came to the Lord with faith, a simple childlike faith, believing that this carpenter's son from Nazareth was the one that was able to make the difference. You'll notice as well that she was very persistent. As you consider her approach to the Lord, it seems that there were many things to discourage her from praying on anymore. There were many discouragements as she sought the Lord in prayer, praying for her daughter. You'll notice in verse 23, it says that his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." The disciples very simply wanted rid of her. She was an embarrassment to them. She was something of a pest. They had no real love in their heart for her. She came from Tyre and Sidon. She really should have nothing to do with the Jewish people, and here she was, and she's crying out, she's making a bit of a scene, and it's annoying the disciples, and so they say, "Lord, send her away," and I'm sure that she heard what they said. Verse 23 as well tells us that as she prayed and sought the Lord, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Why didn't they answer her? Was there sin in her heart, sin in her life? There's no evidence of anything. Was it that her faith might be tested in order that she might persevere and just pray on? So often, whenever we seek the Lord and we've got a burden of heart for a loved one or for a particular need, and we know and we believe that the Lord is able to meet that need, but as we pray, the Lord gives no answer. To have no answer and to receive silence from the Lord is a hard thing. It can be very discouraging and sometimes disheartening at times, but the Lord has his own reasons for withholding the answer. And as she seeks the Lord, it says in verse 24 that the Lord said to his disciples, and evidently this was in the lady's hearing as well, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, she wasn't even part of the house of Israel, and the Lord says this to the disciples. Here she comes before the Lord. She prays for this need. The Lord does not answer her. Then the disciples say, Lord, send her away. And without looking at the woman, it seems the Lord says to his disciples, I was sent to the house of Israel. And she hears that as well, and she realizes, well, I'm not part of the house of Israel. Is the Lord telling me that I have no right of access to him, and he's only interested in the Jewish people? And then it says in verse number 26 that the Lord, whenever he did speak to her, said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And there's different ways you might look at that phrase. She was a Gentile, and the Gentiles were regarded by the Jewish people as being dogs, as being unclean. Or there's the other picture that we might be familiar with as well. You maybe have a little dog in the house, and whenever you're sitting and you're enjoying a meal, maybe the dog comes, if it's light, into the kitchen or into the dining room, wherever you have your food, and it comes and it sits there. And whenever you're maybe young, as I was at home, we had a black Labrador, and I was always tempted, if my mother's back was turned, if there's something in the plate I didn't like, to pass it down to the dog. And she might have said something like this, it's not meat to take your bread or your food and to give it down to the dogs. And this lady was approaching the Lord, and the Lord said this to her. And I believe that all these things were to really test and to try her faith. The fact that initially the Lord didn't answer. The fact that the disciples were discouraging her. The fact that the Lord said he had come to the house of Israel. The fact that the Lord indicates that it's not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And yet, with that faith that she has, she keeps on praying, and we see her persistency. Following on to verse 27, you see her humility. The Lord's made this remarkable statement, whatever way we want to take it, but it says in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord. She doesn't argue. She doesn't get offended. She just says, Lord, what you're saying is right. I am a dog, if that's what it means. I am unclean. I maybe don't have the same privileges as the Jewish people have. But nevertheless, Lord, I'm here. And she appeals to his grace. In fact, in verse number 24, when the Lord said those words, verse 25, it says, and she came and worshipped him. She prayed for something. The Lord didn't answer. The Lord essentially seemed to ignore her. The disciples showed her no love or warm welcome. And yet she just kneels and she worships the Lord. She doesn't huff. She doesn't throw the towel in. She doesn't stomp her feet. She doesn't get offended. And having done that, whenever she humbles herself, it says in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her vindication. She received what she wanted. The Lord commended her faith, granted her petition. And the same hour, her daughter was delivered. Her daughter was saved. What lessons we can learn from this woman. But it's those words in verse 25. Lord, help me. That I just want to leave with you tonight. Some very simple thoughts as we consider these three tremendous words. Lord, help me. The first thought's very simply this. We need help. We need help. Even whenever we are not aware of it, we need help. But this Syrophoenician Canaanite woman from Tyre or Sidon, she was acutely aware of her great need for help. She was in a situation, there were circumstances in her home, and they were entirely overwhelming, and she realized, I need help. And so she prayed, help me, Lord. Or Lord, help me. And at times we need help, and we're conscious of it. There's times we need help, and we need God to give us wisdom. How many times do we find ourselves in situations whenever we just have to throw up our hands and just acknowledge within our hearts, I don't know what to do. Something's happened in the home. Something's happened in the workplace. Something's happened in the family. And we just have to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. Do you ever feel like that? And then there's times we need guidance. Lord, I don't know where to go. Here I am and there's options that lie before me, or it maybe seems that there are no options and I just don't know what to do and I don't know where to go. Lord, help me. There are times whenever we need great grace. Lord, I can't cope anymore. Pressures and the burdens of life are just encroaching in upon me. My heart's weary, my soul is cast down, my mind is confused, I can't even think straight anymore. I need grace. Lord, help me. Then there are times we need provision. There's a great need that needs to be met. It might be a financial need. It might be a physical need. It might be an emotional need. It might be a spiritual need. It might be a need, as we said already, within the home. And there's nothing that we have, no resources within ourselves to meet that need. And we cry out and we say, Lord, help me. And then there's times we need comfort. The heart's cast down. Our spirits are overwhelmed. And we need help. And we say, Lord, help me. Or there's a situation that arises and we need intervention. Maybe a loved one going down a pathway that's going to lead to wreck and ruin. Maybe a great need within our church family. Great need within our town or land or community. Something that's spiraling out of control and we need the Lord to step in. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We need help. And yet to feel your need of Him is always a good thing. To feel your need of Him. First thought there, very simple, we need help. Second thought is, very simple as well, often the help we need is beyond the realm of the natural. Often the help that we need is beyond the realm of the natural. This woman, with the little knowledge and the little faith that she had, she knew only God Almighty can help me in this situation. Her help was beyond the realm of the natural. She realized that the problem by its very nature was supernatural. The devil had entered into her home. The devil had taken possession of her daughter. And it takes the supernatural to burst the bands of demonic oppression and principalities and powers. And she realized that her help that she needed was beyond the realm of the natural. And so it is oftentimes with us, and we're pressed to say, Lord, help me. We realize that we cannot help ourselves. Now, it is always right to do for ourselves what we can, and we must. I don't think there's any point coming before the Lord in prayer and asking the Lord to meet a particular need that we may have if we have got the resources to meet the need ourselves. Or if there is something that we can do, I don't think there's any point asking the Lord to do it for us if we can do it ourselves. We can pray certainly about it. We can pray for God's blessing upon it. But there's no point saying, Lord, would you turn off that television set if we've got the remote control in our hands? There's no point saying, Lord, would you provide daily bread for me if we have got the resources to buy the bread ourselves? There's no point praying for things if we can meet the need ourselves. It's foolish to ask God to do something we can do for ourselves. And sometimes we convince ourselves that we can do nothing. And yet there are things that we ought to be able to do on occasion. And yet there are times, of course, whenever we know in our hearts that we cannot help ourselves. And we cannot get ourselves out of a situation. And so it was here with this woman. She had reached a place in her life, looking at this daughter, what was going on in her life, that, Lord, I can't do anything here, and nobody else can do anything, and therefore I need the help of the supernatural God of heaven. It's like the lady we read of in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and verse number 11. And she was in the synagogue and the house of the Lord, and she had a spirit of infirmity for a period of 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. She just couldn't do it. She could in no wise lift herself. Now that can be looked at different ways. Physically she couldn't lift herself, but there's spiritual application as well, because the sinner, dead in her trespasses and sins, blinded by the God of this world, can in no wise lift themselves to a place of acceptance or faith or even repentance. They just can't do it. They're dead in trespasses and in sins, and dead people can't lift themselves. That's why salvation is of the Lord. But there are times, even in the life of the Christian, whenever the soul can be so overwhelmed and so cast down that, like this woman, we can in no wise lift ourselves. The psalmist had that experience, wasn't it, in Psalm 42? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And he prayed that same thing several times. And the thought there is, his soul was so cast down that he could in no wise lift himself. So it was with this woman in Luke chapter 13 and verse 11. John chapter 5 speaks about an individual, an impotent man, and he's been lying in a spirit of infirmity as well for 38 years. 38 years. This man lying at the side of the pool of Bethesda. 38 years. Spirit of infirmity. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there a long time in that case. Saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He couldn't lift himself down into the pool. And furthermore, there was nobody there that was willing or able to do that for him. And so this lady that we've been reading about tonight, she could not help herself in this particular situation. And there might be a situation that you're facing and you say the same thing, I can't help myself here. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. He was speaking to the disciples regarding their earthly ministry and their witness and work for him. And they realized whenever he said that, we're going to really need the Lord's help. Sometimes we can't help ourselves. And then there are times whenever other people can't help us either. Now, it's a wonderful thing to have people around us who can help and will help. Friends, family, loved ones, people who care, people who are able to help us, even in the secular world, doctors and dentists and people that are able to give us advice and direct us. And we should be so thankful for these things. And within the church as well, the Word of God calls us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so God's people ought to be willing and able as far as they can to help each other. But even with that, man's help is often inadequate, especially whenever it comes to supernatural matters. And there are times whenever we need much more than the help of men. If you turn to the book of Psalms, there's a few verses that I just want to leave with you. Psalm 60 and verse number 11. If you want to look at them, you can. If you want me to just read them out, you can do that as well. Psalm 60, verse 11. The psalmist prays and says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Vain is the help of man. Psalm 22, the great messianic psalm, speaks of our Lord upon the cross. And in the place of prayer says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. There's none to help. Vain is the help of man. Psalm 107 and verse number 12. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Psalm 108, verse 12 as well. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Psalm 146 and verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And as you read there through all of those different psalms, written different times, different periods, different circumstances, the psalmist often realizes, I need help, but the help that I need must be beyond the realm of the natural. There are circumstances that have arisen, and man is just not able to help me here. Even the Lord himself in the book of Isaiah chapter 63 and verse number 5, whenever the Lord looked down from heaven and he thought about his kingdom and his cause, God says, and I looked and there was none to help, And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. So the first lesson, we need help. The second lesson, often the help we need is beyond the realm of the natural. The third lesson is, very simply, we must cry unto God for help. That's what our text tonight is about. Lord, help me. It's an appeal to heaven for help. The prayer of this woman was earnest. She cried unto the Lord. She came and worshipped and she said, Lord, help me. Verse 22, she cried unto him saying, have mercy on me. She's crying unto the Lord. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said, God does not answer prayer. He answers desperate prayer. God does not answer prayer. He answers desperate prayer. And if you can trace answers to prayer in your life, the prayers that you will be able to trace God's answers to were prayers that were earnest, prayers that were desperate, prayers that come out of a heart that was needy. And yet here is a prayer that we can pray at all times and in all situations. You're going for an appointment, maybe to see a doctor. You're going into hospital for a procedure. Lord, help me. A loved one sick. Lord, help me. You face bereavement. Lord, help me. You're traveling. Lord, help me. You're trying to do a work for the Lord. Lord, help me. You're going to try to witness to somebody about Christ. Lord, help me. You're going for a job interview. You're thinking about your future, your employment. You're maybe thinking about university or doing some course. Lord, help me. There's a problem in the family. Lord, help me. And again, the scriptures, especially the book of Psalms, are full of examples of people who prayed the same spirit of prayer that this woman prayed. Psalm 12, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Again, that messianic psalm we've referred to already, Psalm 22, 19. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Psalm 30. And verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Psalm 40 and verse number 13. I'm just reading out these just to show, prove a point. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Psalm 38, verse 22. Make haste to help me, O God of my salvation. And right through the book of Psalms, you'll count many, many references to this type of prayer. Very simple. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. We must cry unto God for help. And this woman here cries unto the Lord for her daughter. And she says, Lord, help me. And if there's a prayer that you could pray tonight, it's this prayer here. Lord, help me. So it was with a man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 22, who was in a very similar situation as this woman. Here's a woman who has a daughter possessed of a devil. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 22, we have a man who has a son who is possessed with a devil. And the man describes the situation to the Lord and says, oftentimes it casts him into the fire or into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. Help us. God can be approached and God can be entreated for help. John Bunyan said, the best prayers often have more groans than words. The best prayers often have more groans than words. Even the Apostle Paul, mighty man of God that he was, said in Romans 8, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And even just to be able to utter these three simple words out of a heart that is heavy and weary, Lord, help me. is a prayer that God can, and I believe will, answer. He's approachable. He's easily entreated. Let us come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why can we do that? Because the previous verse says that we have a great high priest, and he is touched, moved with compassion at the feeling of our infirmities. The first lesson, we need help. The second lesson, often the help we need is beyond the realm of the natural. Lord, help me. Third lesson, we must ask God or cry unto God for help. And then the fourth lesson, very simply, is ultimately that God will help. Might not be in the way that we anticipate, but it will be for His glory, and it will also be for our good. If only we really understood and knew the heart of God for His people. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you." And here's a woman coming from Tyre and Sidon. And even while the Lord uses unusual language to test her faith, the Lord's heart throbs with love for this poor mother. If only we knew the heart of God for His people, we would run to the throne of grace, and we would tarry there, and we would linger there, and we wouldn't want to leave the presence of God. If only we could grasp something of the heart of love and mercy and compassion that the Lord has for the ungodly, but how much more even for His own people. God is our help. It's not just that God is able to help us, but again, the book of Psalms tell us that God is our help. God is our help. That wonderful Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's not that God imparts help or sends help and divorces Himself in a sense from it, but the Lord is our help. And if we can bring Christ into our crisis, and we can bring the Lord into our trial, we'll discover that even the Lord's presence is the very thing that is our help. Psalm 33 and verse number 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord." He is our help and our shield. Psalm 40 and verse 17, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Not that the Lord thought upon me, or that the Lord even thinks upon me, giving the thought that He thinks about us from time to time. But the tense there is, the Lord thinketh upon me. That is, He thinks upon us continually. "That thou shouldest think so much on me, being the God thou art, is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." And then we have Psalm 115, same thing, Psalm 115, verse number 9. "O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Verse 10, "He is their help and shield." Verse 11, "He is their help and shield." Three times the Lord tells us, "I'm your help and I'm your shield." Hosea chapter 39, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Verse number 6, whenever you've got a well-known verse like Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," oftentimes the verses on the other side are the ones that are forgotten. But verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 13 is a tremendous verse. "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He is willing, He is able to help, because He is our help. I don't know oftentimes how the unconverted cope whenever a trial comes. I don't know how people sometimes go on. I'm sure you've thought that yourself whenever you've faced a trial and you've known something of God's grace. It still hasn't been easy. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And there are many people in the hall tonight, and you've proved the grace of God, and you've proved the sufficiency of God's mercy, and you've proved that God is a great God and a great help. But we often wonder, how do the unconverted cope whenever they don't know this great God that is able to help? God is our help. Furthermore, God promises to help. I've already shown you many of these promises already, but here's a few specific ones in the book of Isaiah. Familiar words, Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, verse 14, thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Here's the Lord himself, our Redeemer. And he says, I'll hold your hand. I'll be with you. I'll strengthen you. I will help you. He promises to help us. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and he that formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Incidentally, the word help that we've been considering from these verses in Isaiah and elsewhere literally means to surround. It means to give aid. It means to succor. It means to support. How does the Lord help us? He surrounds us with his love. And underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. And that's the greatest help that we can ever know. Faith is just believing and resting on these promises. We could cite hundreds of examples in Scripture where the Lord gave to his people help. He helped Noah to build an ark. Read about the size of the ark that Noah had to build. I'm sure he said, Lord, help me. Gideon, whenever he had to face the Midianites and his army was whittled down from over 30,000 to just 300. I'm sure Gideon had to say, Lord, help me. Moses had to lead millions of Israelites through the wilderness. And he realized his weakness. And he was 80 years of age when that commenced. I'm sure he had to say, Lord, help me. Joshua had to face the walls of Jericho. David had to face Goliath. Stephen had to face a crowd that were standing with stones and they were going to stone him to death. I'm sure they all threw up this little prayer, Lord, help me. Do you not think tonight, friend, that the Lord can help you? Many of you have proved him before many, many times. And yet, as often is the case, whenever a new trial comes and a new situation comes, we do wonder, don't we? In spite of all that's gone on before, now will the Lord help me this time? Of course he will. Faithful is he which hath called you, who also will do it. What is your need tonight? What is your trial? What is your burden? Just ask the Lord to help you. As this woman did, and she received the help that she needed, help that changed her family. Lord, help me. May God bless these thoughts tonight to our hearts for his own sake and for his own glory.